Hey, welcome to the AI Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Kyle James. Today, we're going to be discussing how a business consulting company called Activate the Magic was able to scale its business by helping other companies turn revenue operations into a growth engine. They specialize in helping business-to-business SaaS startups grow from 0 to 10 million in annual recurring revenue. If you're in the business consulting space or even in the AI space, then you need to listen closely. Have you found that your AI agent is hallucinating or just mishandling basic conversations? Speak to GPT Trainer. GPT Trainer fully manages your AI agent for you, eliminating hallucinations for good while drastically improving your AI agent's response. Go to gpttrainer.com to learn more. So for our guests today on the show, I have Jackie Leah, who is the founder and head of go-to-market at Activate the Magic. It's a boutique revenue operations agency based in Boston, Massachusetts, with a journey that began in the classroom and now it thrives in the boardroom. Jackie, she helps business-to-business SaaS startups grow from literally $0 to $10 million in ARR. Jackie brings a rare mix of strategy, systems, and storytelling, empowering early stage teams to scale smarter with tools like HubSpot, Salesforce, and many others. Whether she's mapping out the go-to-market strategy or untangling tech stacks, Jackie's mission is clear: make revenue operations a growth engine, not just a roadblock. Hey, Jackie, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Yeah, super excited to have you on. So walk me through, like, as far with Activate the Magic, how did it come to be?
Well, everything was by accident, Kyle. So I've been on the consulting side of RevOps for B2B SaaS since 2020. I joined a Salesforce consulting shop. I was there for 2 years. And then I took Jaco van der Kerkhove's growth architecture cohort.
Wait, what's his name? Jack who?
Jaco van der Kerkhove.
Okay.
He founded Winning by Design. And I got so obsessed with operationalizing the bow tie and other sort of like first principles forward applications to B2B SaaS. I spent like 9 months of just all of my downtime creating like solutions in Salesforce. And Jaco got wind of this and recruited me to build the RevOps practice at Winning by Design. But it was 2022 and everything just kind of went sideways. So I was laid off and the last thing I wanted to do was interview. So I put up my little shingle, and like 2 months in, I was like, oh, this is too much work. I brought on a friend and then another friend. And then 6 months later, I was like, wait, did I accidentally start a business? And yes, I did. And it's a lot of fun. We're coming up on our third year anniversary.
Awesome. Congratulations on that. With it being, you know, the spin of it was like the revenue operations, right, as the core of Activate the Magic. But before we like get into the systems, like, I mean, why this space, you know, especially if you're like, oh, it was an accident, but like, why that? Was it because of the Jaco that you mentioned, or is it something different?
Well, everything was by accident. So I pivoted into the tech world. I'm a former teacher and real estate agent, but I wanted to get into the like tech startup world because everything else that I did, I would figure out and then get bored. But I figured with tech startups, there'd always be something new. And I was right. So even though I was the tender age of 33, I started as a BDR, that's the entry-level sales rep position in like B2B tech. And all of my coworkers were like 12 days out of college, which was excellent. But then by my third startup, I was hire number 10 at Link Squares, the first lady hire. And I was brought on at 350K ARR. And in 2 years, we got to 9 million.
Wow.
And yeah.
Wow.
Zero marketing. It was all cold outbound, like events, word of mouth. And I was brought on to build the business development team system. And throughout doing that, somebody had to figure out the back end of Salesforce. Right. So it's like I had a pain. This is my profession. But then I just stumbled into an absolute passion. Salesforce was like business Legos. Like, what do you need done? I can make it happen. Mm-hmm. Different tech and systems. I was like, I felt like I was in the Matrix. I was like, I know what to do.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. Like, that's a huge jump. What were the numbers that you said again? It was three from
Yeah.
350 to 9 million.
9 million. Yeah, it was cray cray.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I can see why now that you're working with the startups, because like for you've been in the industry, you've been in that space before where it was a startup and you took it to, what were some of the things outside of like the Salesforce and like the back end? What were some of the things that maybe you contributed that you think might have really helped with getting a company from 350 to 9 million
Yeah.
in revenue?
Well, like probably socially inappropriate levels of curiosity and like grit, right? Like, I do not recommend if you want any sort of semblance of what they call work-life balance.
You're like,
Like,
I grinded just
I
cons
grinded, but like happily, it wasn't even suffering. Like, I was just very, very happy. Like, it was my hobby, it was my life. But I think I brought, a wealth of background experiences, right? It was renting apartments in Manhattan during the financial crisis where I figured how we got clients was through Craigslist. But I was like,
Nice.
wait, why am I posting all these disparate Craigslist ads? I had like a point of view, a tone, a voice. I love comedy. So I'd like make people laugh. And then I was like, let me link them all back to a WordPress site. So I was doing like inbound. Somebody tell Matt and Dharmesh that I actually created inbound marketing. Just kidding. But yeah, on my WordPress blog, I would feature like the apartment hunt for people and like 3 months after they moved in, like apartment tours. So by the time people reached out to me, they're like, Jackie, I cannot wait to find an apartment with you, right? Because really that human side. I think just being really clear of like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to build in public. Yeah, I think
Yeah,
that
that's
really helps.
amazing. And so like for someone like, you started kind of pursuing the kind of the startup companies and seeing, 'cause you yourself had been in that space and you've done the grind. I think any startup can relate that like it is a grind and you've got to figure out the code and crack the nut, right? So walk me through though, like with a client, someone who comes and learns more about you. They want to learn more about the company, maybe become a client. Like what does that journey look like for them if they were to jump on board and
So usually, B2B tech startup, you might have Salesforce or HubSpot, but then I ask, okay, but if you're actually gonna run a forecast or like a pipeline meeting, it's like, oh yeah, Google Sheets. It's in a Google Sheet. So it's
yeah.
almost like I like to call it the Google Sheets empire, right? And that is fine. Like, I think a lot of RevOps people will be like, don't do that. Do that. I'm definitely like, there's growth and there's efficiency. I am growth. So like, go for it. When all of a sudden it's usually that founder-led sales or that early, that first kind of sales leader, there's like an all of a sudden moment where like, oh my gosh, I can no longer keep all of these deals in my head. Or
Right,
like,
right.
did I update my Google Sheet tracker? Like,
Like,
if it happens,
is this the right data?
is
Like,
it
this
real?
person has a similar name. I don't know if that's the same. Which person? What was their last
Exactly.
name? Yeah.
Exactly. And when it happens, you'll know, like, don't go into self beat up. That's actually
Yeah.
a good sign. It's a good sign. And
Yes.
it's almost like if you're a pilot, first you learn to fly by, like, oh, there's the horizon. But at some point, you want to level up and you really have to trust your instruments. So that's sort of what we do. Just enough infrastructure, automation, sort of like workflows, just so you can do what you do, right? Build your team, be in on the deal making, but also when you go back to your computer, have a sense of what's going on in your pipeline by a dashboard, by trackers and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, setting up the right CRM, HubSpot, Salesforce, and I imagine there's a couple other tech stack that you recommend. And especially when it comes to, like I know a lot of these popular platforms have like AI integrations into them. And how obviously this AI podcast, right? Like how have you been integrating AI on your side? And then maybe even like some of the tools that you've seen some of your clients being, using as far as the AI side goes.
Yeah, well, hot off the press, sales engagement platforms like SalesLoft, Outreach, Apollo, their days are numbered. And like Outreach's days are numbered. And what's taking its place are tools like Clay for data finding and enrichment, tools like Unify. Unify GTM is amazing, Default is amazing. What I've actually found, and have actually implemented for myself because I loved it so much. It's called Ample Market. Their new product is called Duo, and it's like all the data you could ever use, also sort of AI filters for your persona. And you can set up a couple different triggers, like if they viewed your LinkedIn or your website or something, you can have it just automatically populate an entire sequence based on who you train it on, like what your value props are and how you like to message. And once it finds someone that like matches, boop, they'll like every morning go in, and I have like 10 or 11 people to like kick off in a sequence. And they're custom made little sequences, and you can say call heavy or no calls or like LinkedIn heavy, or you can set up your druthers, if you will. And so, Kyle, what, like, I did the job of VDR, right? I did it. What used to take me 4.5 hours every day is now taking me like 8 minutes.
Wow.
Like, it's insane. So now yeah. I can do my outbound. I can feel like I'm on top of everything. And it's like, I'm sipping coffee, watching the late show
from
last night, and just boop, 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 boop. And I can probably actually put those on autopilot, like when I feel like,
And so, like, you know, especially when you talk about some of your, you know, clients, or even some of these small startup companies, tech companies, and they are using a Google Sheet and they are using Excel documents, and there's no CRM, there's no tools outside of maybe using ChatGPT. Like, what are some of those, I guess, like transformations that you've seen when they finally start working with you and activate the magic, when they start working with you, and what kind of results are they getting after you've kind of coached them through and helped them scale their company to a more appropriate revenue?
Yeah, I think the first actual like benefits come from, it's more of like the emotional side of like confidence, that because like companies usually like, we're selling sort of despite ourselves. We don't really know what's happening. We don't have a sales process. And it's like, you do. You don't have it articulated or documented. So what we're able to do is just a couple, like looking at what's going on in your Google Sheets or in your whatever systems, doing some ride-alongs with your end users, we'll be able to sort of, using those artifacts, document what your sales process is, right? And then all of a sudden we'll have a good idea of where your biggest constraint is. So usually it's in, early on, it's usually acquisition. Is it acquisition, like getting new leads, attracting new leads? Do people know who you are? Are they even aware of the problem that you solve, which is actually a big problem right now? Or conversion, like once they're in your pipeline, are you closing them? And then, of course, like onboarding and expansion, like do your clients stay? Do they pay their bills? Yeah. Sort of thing.
Keeping that retention.
Yeah. Extension, all that stuff. So usually it's in the acquisition. So just all of a sudden being like, oh, I know who we serve, how we serve them, how to like talk about our key persona, where they are, how we're going to engage with them, right? So just some clarity and some, now seeing the crazy revenue target at the end of the year that I'm going to have to stand in front of the board and be like, we did it.
Yeah.
Finally seeing like, oh, this isn't just a pipe dream. It actually is. If I just do this, 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 and keep my head on a swivel, we'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think about, like, you know, even within our company or in different other companies I've seen, it's like they have this process of, hey, when a lead comes through, this is what I do, and this is the results that's happening, and they're getting some sort of number, like some sort of revenue from it. But then you come in and it's like, hey, look, just analyze everything from the beginning to the end, and then let's identify, hey, what are some bottlenecks or some of those with some of the artifacts that you mentioned. And then from there, it's like making changes. And, you know, I don't know how many clients actually you were working with, but like, what are like maybe one or two that maybe come to mind that you've just seen, like, since you started working with them, it's been just a absolute change, whether it's just like a process or it's a change in revenue or a change in direction. Like, what have you seen so far?
Yeah, one of our biggest, so we have about 12 clients right now. We're going through a growth spurt, which is really fun. But one of them, I mean, they came to us there. They had sort of one go-to-market motion going fine. They added a second one, like a second product, and it's just very different. And it wasn't really in Salesforce yet. right? So that whole team was running off of a Google Sheet or 12. And then they had different, of course, it's like the copy, like final copy, right? Like, no, this is the one, like trying to put it in the title of a Google Sheet, right? So, and everything was hand tabulated. So they didn't really know where things were. So being able to like, just lightly document what they're doing, bring it into Salesforce, and also be able to like unify both sales teams in one system because they have the same sales leader. So that sales leader, instead of like, what's going over there and what's going, it's like, okay, on one dashboard, I can see, where do I need to coach today? Right? What team needs the most help today? And based on some gone crackers and some looking at what's happening on the funnel, like, ooh, this is actually, if I spend my time here, it's going to make the biggest difference. So, because I think sales leaders care so much, and there's so much to do. You will never be done. So you could either run around like a chicken with your head cut off and like, I hope I'm doing the right things. Or just a little bit of like, hey, start here. It looks like the thing that you're worried about, probably because a friend was talking about some AI, like chatbot or something, like, I need that. I was like, do you? Let's take a step back, because your website conversions are not a problem.
Yeah.
Actually, if you look here, though, this little handoff is where you're losing. So let's actually tackle that.
It's like, yeah. So it's like taking all that, like almost like the data, clearing it up, getting it all in one like unified place, and then going, okay, you as a sales leader, as an example, like, hey, looking at this data and these numbers, like, I know that you want to spend time on that shiny new object over here, the fish, right? Like, but hey, actually, what we're looking at here is the data says that, or even just what's in front of you is saying, you need to spend time with this part of your team, because that's going to get you closest to that next sale or that change in process.
Yeah.
So, and so for, especially those businesses that are listening in, they're in that place, maybe they're a single, you know, solopreneur, or they've got a small team, 5-10 people, like, and they're under that 10 million recurring revenue. Where would they go to learn more about, you know, what you do, Jackie, and then more about Activate the Magic?
Cool. Well, I hang out on LinkedIn, so just find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM. I'm very friendly. And if you would like to kind of look into what your key constraint might be, I do have a little, it's called a fire focus tool. You don't even need to give your email. It's completely ungated, completely free. It's activatethemagic.com, and just click on Fire Focus Tool and it'll get you.
Nice.
And it'll lead you to like a step-by-step on how to fix that key constraint that you can literally just like hand to your junior person, like, go fix that.
Nice. Absolutely amazing. Awesome. Well, cool. Thanks for sharing that. Definitely go there. We're going to wrap it up from here. Thank you so much, Jackie, for joining us and sharing more insight on Activate the Magic and just the impact that you're making for not only your company, but also for many other SaaS startup companies who are just trying to get first, you know, that first mountaintop, right? It's a bit of a climb, but I'm sure the breeze is nice and refreshing once you get to the top, or closer to the top, I should
say. That's what I'm told.
I keep climbing, though.
I keep climbing.
I'm breathing heavier, harder every time. Anyways, but amazing. And remember, if you're a startup or a business consulting company and your AI agent is hallucinating or just mishandling basic conversations, go to gptrainer.com to learn more on how we've helped our clients fine-tune their AI agents. Thanks for listening in. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thanks, Jackie. It's great having you on. I've really enjoyed this. I'm looking forward to seeing everyone on the next episode of the AI Chronicles.